Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
You know what that means. Thank you so much for being with us for the Mark Order 175th episode. My goodness. The little show that could, us Mark Order folk. I am the only remaining original host, but in great news, Ryan's not here tonight. So that's fantastic stuff. But you got me. You've got Asian Joe. Looking good, Asian Joe. Did you get a haircut? Did you get a mall cut?
Ooh, my dad made that joke a lot. Yeah, I heard something maybe a week ago. I don't know.
Looks good. You're looking good over there. Look good, feel good, you know?
Thank you. I'll take it. As do you. The veins look good. The eyelashes are respectable.
I might look good, but, like, are you influenced is the real question.
Am I influenced, you say?
Yeah.
I'm an influencer.
Oh, no, I never thought I would miss Ryan, but oh, I'm scared that there's room for the drops. I don't like that there's room in this broadcast for that. That's not great for me, but thank you so much for watching. Jeff saying maybe the first or second time that you're catching us all live. Thank you for supporting. We appreciate support during or after, but we love it when people can chat along and catch us live. Taylor Cannon, always so supportive of everything we do. Big G in the chat. Peace is in the chat. Thanks so much for hanging out and talking some AEW Dynamite with us. If you guys could leave a thumbs up on this video, that would be like the coolest thing in the whole wide world because it definitely helps people find us in the algorithm. Hi, Scott George. Thank you for always being so wonderful and supportive. Scott George in the chat and the Shining Wizards podcast Monday. We're going to tell you all about the Shining Wizards Network in a little bit, but I got to sit in. Normally, I swing by the first Monday of every month for a segment called Kate's Corner, but I just sat in on third mic because they were down a few people. So it was very fun. It was very, very fun, but that show's fine. The Mark Order is where it's at, though. So you're tuned in to the right place. In addition to leaving a thumbs up on this video, if you are listening in audio form, 5-star reviews. I know FTR would get a 7-star one, but like, say we're not in the Tokyo Dome. Let's give us a 5-star review. It would be so nice if you listen in audio form. It really does go a long way in helping us out. But Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing well, all things considered. It's, there's no strong winds or thunderstorms or hurricane winds coming through, so we're good.
My goodness, yeah, this episode of AEW Dynamite definitely got affected by the weather. It storms here, but it was so needed. Like, it has just been a wall of humidity for the last week. This is the first time it rained and, like, actually the weather system changed. Like, it dropped to the low 70s and it was so needed. I was so happy because it's been like 95 in a wall of humidity for so much of this weekend. And speaking of this weekend, I was at Excite Wrestling. I was at Speedy Fest. I'll tell you all about Speedy Fest in a minute, but I got to meet Dijak in person, which was awesome. We've communicated virtually a bunch. I always stop into those MXM streams and he's on them a lot. And it was so cool. First of all, just like so tall.
I was going to say, is he as tall as you thought he would be in person or taller?
Yeah. So I saw him one time on the street. He was going to WrestleCon and I was leaving WrestleCon WrestleMania weekend. And I just said ratio. And we had like a moment. And then I was like, holy crap, that dude is like, you know, he's tall on screen, but when he's around guys that are still 6'3", 6'4", or whatever, it's not as towering of a difference. Him being at independent shows is going to be really fun because he's going to have like a huge size advantage. But what was awesome was a lot of times if they bring in a talent like Dijak to Excite, they offer them the option to teach a seminar because you're just maximizing bang for your buck, as a lot of independents do. And watching that dude with these young students, it was so gross out, Joe. Like, if it wasn't 99.9% humidity, it was 100% humidity and it was raining. And then that would peel away. But instead of getting that like cool breeze, the sun came back out. There was one point where I was at commentary, we're under a tent and I was dying. I have no idea how they wrestled in that, but you could actually see steam rising off the canvas because it was like rain and then just immediate heat. And to make matters worse, Excite has a black canvas. So Dijak was like, I think my skin is charred after wrestling on that, but they were such troopers. But watching him teach, I was like, one, NXT is just stupid for letting him go from not only a performer aspect, but like that guy is going to be the most amazing coach someday. Like, even just overhearing a couple things that he was saying, but like watching the passion with which he was talking to these kids. And I've gotten to see seminars from a couple different people before, but he was just like so in his element, which was so cool to see. Just like a brilliant wrestling mind. But it was a really, really fun 3 days. It was an exhausting 3 days. I had 3 days of commentary and then two post shows. So very thankful for my friend Elise for putting me up. Very thankful for getting through it, because it was nasty conditions, but it's a good crew at Excite there. So that was a bunch of fun. And it's crazy because it's just like it's the festival I went to as a kid. Like, it was, I did sand art at that festival 25 years ago. Like, I remember it so vividly as a kid going. And then the show before that being at like my local Royal roller rink is so wild to me. Like, just a giant nostalgia trip. But what a blast that was. How was your weekend? How are things with you other than the haircut?
You know, I think we shared a lot of similar weather, because it was over 100 degrees and humid here. And then now today was in the like upper 70s, and tomorrow going to be in the mid 70s again. So nice. Yeah, we went through last week we had the derecho. Yeah. Show. The storm, though, with the strong winds. It also sounds like a competitor for CMLL.
yeah.
Tag team partners with El Nino, you know?
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, I think you're good. Moving along. Looking forward to seeing you and Ryan later this month.
I know. We finally figured out the rest of our Capital Collision plans. We're staying at the fanciest Marriott in the land. So please, no pictures. Please, no autographs. Like, I'm trying to have fun with my friends. I know you guys are influenced, but like, oh no. I'm going to get trolled by my own voice this entire show.
It's actually not your voice, so don't worry about that.
Oh, it's not?
No, but
is it AI or something?
No, random video TikTok person voice I clipped.
Oh, I thought it was me being a douchebag last week or the week before.
You didn't get back for that. I should have. That would have made more sense.
Well, there'll be plenty on this one because I keep saying it. But look, if you give me something for free, I'm in. Like, I'm not going to argue with you if it's something I initially wanted. And you're like, okay, but what if it didn't cost anything? Like, I'm in. I'll do your stupid video or whatever the fuck you want. But we are going to get into tonight's Dynamite shortly. We've got a couple of news and notes. It's been a little bit of a quieter front on the volume of AEW things. The stuff that's come out has been a little shakier. There were kind of two pieces of bigger news this week, which was that there was a Britt Baker and MJF argument that led to a Britt Baker suspension. It sounded like Britt was talking some shit about MJF and Ospreay during their 59-minute and 58-second match or whatever it was, but she was expressing her frustration in front of his partner, Alicia Atut, who works there, and sounds like there was a lot of he said, she said. Other people have reported that Britt used the phrase that Alicia was a stupid fucking bitch, which is not great. But Britt Baker causing controversy basically as soon as she's back. HR escalated the situation. It sounds like they had a lot of different people's perspectives, and that Britt got suspended and Max didn't for those reasons. He allegedly punched a wall as well, but he did so away from the women's locker room. They said that it was said that he barged into the women's locker room. It was reported, at least by Fightful Selected, a couple other people, that he knocked and was granted access. Like, a lot of the backstage argument stuff often gets overblown. So sounds like there's some backstage tension. MJF and Britt Baker also were friends, and they reportedly had a fallout. So never good, never good. If you talk shit, there's going to be consequences sometimes. And there you go. So Britt suspended for realsies. It is what it is. That's not the first that I've heard or anyone's heard about Britt being kind of a pill backstage, for sure. I think it's going to be tough, because the women's division is a lot different than it was. So if there are attitude issues, I don't think that AEW has the same pressure to have a high threshold for any drama or bullshit. I would say that about the men's division too. Like, unless you're Will Ospreay at this point, or maybe Swerve or Bryan Danielson, who don't seem to have these issues. Max, I haven't heard of any backstage issues other than this from a rumor perspective, or this in like a real way. No, like, no disputes that had to do with him as a person that I've heard. People just having like minor creative gripes or whatever. Sure, wrestling things. But this division doesn't need her the same way. And it's going to be interesting to see how this all gets navigated, because Mercedes legitimately is a bigger star than her. They've made stars since she's left. There's Willow. There's Chris. There's Deonna. There's Thunder Rosa back. Like, there's so many incredible women. Toni Storm and Mariah May, obviously. Like, so I think it's going to be a trickier time if she thinks she's going to have the same leash that she was on, because they don't have the same reliance on her that she used to. Obviously, still a huge star. Obviously, one of their highest draws of the women's division. Obviously, a day one talent and has a ton of upside to her. But these attitudes, man, not going to be tolerated in the same ways, I don't think. But any thoughts on this? As the great Buddha once said, it's all about the he said, she said bullshit. So,
well, first of all, we should probably say hello to our friend. Hi,
Jesse Ozak. Oh, it's so nice when there's no bad tension around it, when stupid Ryan's not here to ruin everything.
You know, I hearing more about this, and it's just kind of a shame that so much of this stuff is out, but I guess, you know, that's the world we live in, where everything's so immediate to get out of the locker rooms and things like that.
Oh, yeah. I love that there are people that genuinely think this doesn't happen in WWE.
Right. It happens everywhere. And
it happens in every sports locker room, not just wrestling. Like, this happens all the time. WWE just has it more on lock, I think. But like, the people that are like the immaturity of AEW, I'm like, it's the immaturity of all wrestlers, actually. They're all egomaniacs with bad tans. But as you were saying,
and like you said, and that leads perfectly into the issue of the arguments and the egos, and, you know, people wanting certain spots at certain times. And you're going to have that in this profession. And to your point again, AEW is in a different chapter of its business right now. It's been 5 years. We've seen people come and go who were, you know, almost day one people.
Yeah.
We've seen them cut ties, obviously, with, you know, when Punk came in, and they, you know, did business without him. So you're right. Like, you don't, some of those people who were here from day one don't have the same leverage to, I guess, strings like they used to.
Yeah, I would think so. And Joe, I don't know if you froze there or if I did, but I get what you were saying. Yeah. And it's so dumb, because I think it all blows over. So it's just like kind of lame that we have to hear about it, I guess, almost. So it's I don't like when it hangs over things like some sort of dark cloud over what's been like a really good chapter for AEW. Like, I feel like the product is on a pretty strong tear right now. So hopefully the ramifications don't linger, but Britt was pictured on TV today, so I can't imagine it's all that big of a deal, despite what the internet will say. But a couple other things, one that you can give your thoughts on if you would like to, but isn't a huge deal, but AEW and Warner Brothers have exited the exclusivity window. I don't think that's as big of a deal as it might be made out to be. They've been very deep in talks for almost 2 years at this point, if not deeper. The belief, I think, all around is that it's going to get done. Tony Khan met in Paris with their many of their executives. Feels like it's just a matter of hammering out the details, but that is good. Like, they, if anything, that just means more leverage for Warner Brothers. But since they lost the basketball deal, I'm guessing Tony Khan might have some more momentum. But there's a lot that people don't take into account of how many dates, which networks, what happens when the playoffs come up, what are we doing on Max? Like, this is taking so long, from what I've heard, not because there's any sort of tension, just because these deals take a long time to hammer out. So any thoughts on that? I'm thinking we hear sooner rather than later. That might be a big all-in announcement, actually. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what we've all kind of, I think, forecasted, was that maybe this would be announced right before, at, or right after All In to ride that momentum. And yeah, just because the exclusive negotiation time frame has passed, like you said, they've been in talk for a long time. I can't imagine anyone coming in who could offer, I guess, as many avenues as Time Warner.
Well,
good right now without having to totally, you know, kick back the process and take longer than where they're at now in negotiations.
The only thing that I could think of is that, you know, WWE is leaving Fox entirely. They're going to be USA Network and Netflix. I would imagine if Fox wanted to stay in the wrestling game, they would have just continued to pay for WWE. They already had so much of that worked out. I think they just don't want wrestling, which is fine. But that they're kind of the only viable ones that I could see maybe getting into it, but sounds like it's just a matter of time. But yeah, that exclusivity window, everyone was like, oh my God. And it's like, when you're this deep into talks, probably not as big of a deal. But what does feel like a big deal and kind of is the most bummer of an AEW departure to me, sounds like Rey Fénix and Penta are leaving and WWE bound. I love Ethan Page. I was bummed when he left, but he wasn't really being used. I love Cody, and him leaving was obviously a huge shock. But for some reason, maybe because it just feels like the most wasted potential and this tag division has been so desperate to get back on track, like, them leaving feels like a piece of AEW is kind of on its way out. They had so many classic matches there. Firm believer in like having options and going to workplaces. I just also get nervous because I see how WWE treats tag wrestling and I see how WWE treats luchadors, and neither of those are great. So I just hope that they get used appropriately. We are seeing increases in quality at WWE kind of in all aspects. They were just in a fucking hell of a debt of creative juice. Like, they've had to overcome so much of what Vince was doing. I feel like from this past WrestleMania to now has been a big leap forward. I've always been like, you get one Mania to Mania cycle, and that's where I judge you at fully, because Triple H got interrupted by Vince and then took over again. There was so much jockeying. But I'm bummed. I'm bummed that WWE or AEW didn't do more with them in more recent time. I really feel like they should have been in that Blood and Guts match. Reports were also that they were slated to win the Trios titles with Pac at All In. So I just hope they get something really awesome for Pac to be able to do, because he deserves it from everything I've heard about him backstage as a person, for the wrestler he is, for the fact that this is in England. But yeah, this one was a bummer. This one was the first one where I was like, oh, and part of it is I don't think they're moving on to a place that's going to be better for them. I think it's better for Cody. I think it's better for Jade. We'll see if it's better for Ethan Page, but this I'm like, oh, WWE, not great with luchadors or tag teams. Your thoughts on the departure of Penta and Rey Fénix?
Bittersweet. And you know, good for them. Make money. have some more new opportunities to face people that you haven't faced before. So that'll be a little bit more freshened up for them. But yeah, the tag team divisions in AEW and WWE have both been lackluster to say the least.
Yeah.
So I don't want them to be like, oh, if you throw them into a feud with LWO, throw them in a feud with Legata. I mean,
are you implying that they would just throw them into a team with another Hispanic stable? I can't believe it.
It's almost like they're a trend,
It's almost like that's the only thing that they had for 8 months. We'll see. It'll also be interesting to see if they go to the main roster or if they go to NXT. They are a little bit older and they wrestle a very specific style, obviously, right? So they may, where a lot of people make pit stops in NXT, they might still do that because they tend to do that with non-English speaking acts and then they get the presentation together now. I would imagine if it's NXT, they're going to have a very short run. They might do that to pop a rating on CW, but they're a little bit older. This is going to be a test for sure. Any thoughts about that, NXT or WWE, or you don't really care?
I'm more interested in from what you said there, their style and how much you think they'll have to change or adapt to the WWE style.
Yeah, that's definitely something that has been on my radar a little bit too. They do some crazy shit. Maybe that's why they want to go there. Maybe they're like, if we're forced to tone it down, our careers will last longer.
But then they just aren't Lucha Brothers then to me.
They're just brothers.
They're just brothers. And also, with Pac being by himself on AEW, is Death Triangle just a death line? What happened to the triangle?
It's just a death line. He's just the death guy. That's it. It's not a shape anymore. He's just the death guy. Death line segment, maybe, because there's a definitive top and bottom. But it's true. Do you replace them? What do you do? Pac can obviously stand out on his own as a singles competitor. If they wanted to bring him in to lead a couple other people, that would be awesome. I always thought him and Leo Rush would be such an interesting combination together. But we'll see what's to become of that. I just hope they have something figured out for him for Wembley, because I've only heard wonderful things about him. Not even just I never heard a bad word about that guy, or I've heard good things about him. Just the best is all I've heard. So some good stuff there, but we're gonna get into this episode of AEW Dynamite. Some people in the chat talking about ROH, Wheeler versus Rocky Slaps. I love hearing that. Robbie Eagles challenging for the Pure title warmed my heart too. So the ROH product seems to be getting back on track. Nothing reported about that yet, but I hope in the future soon we're talking about that ROH is cooking again. So that'll be good. But before we get into this episode of AEW Dynamite, we're going to tell you about some of the other great shows on the Shining Wizards Network. I mentioned that the Shining Wizards podcast I was on this Monday. It was so much fun. We talked for 2 hours. We covered SummerSlam. We covered AEW. It was very funny for me to be the most negative one on there. That's not usually the case when I go over there. Not overwhelmingly negative, but the most critical, I think, of some stuff. But absolutely had a blast chopping it up with the fellas. But let's let you hear all about the shows on the Shining Wizards Network.
Ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, where each and every week we call out your name as one of our show producers. And the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive. And believe me, they are fantastic. If you can't support us monetarily, if you don't shop at Amazon, that's absolutely fine. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web. And make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Doesn't cost you anything, helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events, brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, Castbox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder, because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
I'm Kevin Rogue.
I'm Al Day.
And we're a couple of down under pounders that co-host Rogue Day Dots, an action figure collecting podcast where we talk about, well, just about anything that tickles our fancy at any given moment.
We're grumpy old men, and sometimes people get on our nerves. And when you get on our nerves, guess what? You get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, asshole! We also go on a little bit of a mission. We go back and we're grading every wrestling figure line that's out there. I'm talking LJNs. I'm talking Jax. I'm talking Hasbros. Who doesn't like a little Hulkaplex? It's a Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production found on the Shining Wizards Network.
I'm Duke Bags.
Kevin Rowe.
And together we are the co-hosts of your Duke and Rowe. If you want to hear about some terrible wrestling shows, we got you covered.
Well, we talk about good ones, too.
We're currently talking about the death of WCW.
I know what we're fucking talking about. Sometimes we get guest spots, like from the Taskmaster. I like to listen to the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast. They're funny guys. I like when they talk about the Narch plows. I like Narch plows. That's a good move. And I like the Dungeon of Doom. You know, sometimes I call my butt the Dungeon of Doom. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite wrestling podcast. All right. A podcast with two men, Duke Bags, Kevin Rowe. They talk about professional wrestling. It's a man's sport, all right? And who better to talk about a man's sport than Duke Bags? Oklahoma.
And once in a while, Vince Russo stops by.
Oh, you piece of shit! If you're not listening to the Year of Duke and Rowe podcast in the back with the boys, you piece of shit, I don't know what you're doing. You got a slight one in there. If you're a man. You're talking about something only a man can do. You're talking about slight one in there. Bro, take the time to slide one in there. All right, bro, you piece of shit. Slide one in there. A Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production that you can find on the Shining Wizards Network.
I'm still muted. There we go. Thank you so much for hanging out on the Shining Wizards Network with us. Joe admitted in the chat. I'm gonna give people a peek behind the curtain here, okay? I'm gonna let them know of your severe mistake. Joe said, now that I'm thinking, you were right. I totally got it.
What? Yeah. Okay. Moving on, let's talk about how...
Don't you dare what champ me, sir, okay? Look, I wouldn't have known, because you said it's been about a week. That could have been any time between Thursday and now. That's a fresh haircut to me, buddy, all right?
Yeah.
But let's dive into this fresh episode of AEW Dynamite. Hi, Kylie. Hi, Second Lieutenant Colonel Photo. I hope Rampage is fun. I hope everybody is safe and hurricane weather, but I'll tell you who was not safe, and that was Kyle Fletcher. He was not safe for the great American Patriot, MJF, who comes out sporting some incredible patriotic gear. He does something that heels don't do often enough. He just immediately rolls out of the ring, getting under the skin of the opponent, and the crowd gets in, and Fletcher just immediately kind of takes control after that and had a really, really good showing in this match. But MJF targeting the arm the whole match. And then at the end here, we get Kyle Fletcher using the good arm that he has left to unload on MJF after MJF calls him a wannabe Will Ospreay. Ouch. Don Callis gives him the screwdriver behind the ref's back, but Fletcher refuses to use it. An opening for MJF, and he hits a low blow, a kangaroo kick, and a brainbuster for the win. Now, I love him using the brainbuster. It looks great. We've said it before. Great here. Kyle Fletcher selling his ass off. That shoulder breaker from MJF in this ruled, and him selling that pile driver at 299.9999 was fantastic. I feel like there's this thing that happens in wrestling where everybody's favorites eventually get to this point where they get called overrated. And I feel like that happened with MJF. The devil angle didn't go as planned because everybody in it got injured. And he came back. This patriotic angle is not for everyone, but you have to like look at the context of what they're doing, right? And if the goal of the heel is to make their opponent look good, even when the heel's going to go over, and to get a bunch of crowd reactions to heel heat and advance the story, I feel like MJF is real damn good at that. And he was really, really good at it tonight, especially in an episode that was kind of weird because of the travel arrangements. He had tweeted that he drove 10 and a half hours yesterday because of his flight getting screwed up. This is really good because we all know how good Kyle Fletcher is. For MJF to also know that and have to target the arm the whole match. And the way with Will Ospreay that he was like, easy dub. To me, it felt like the 29999 kick out of that pile driver was also his easy dub. Like, I think he's great. This stuff was not for me originally. Once I saw what they were doing with it, I'm now so much more on board than I was. That American title is hideous. I'm actually having a blast with this now as soon as I realized, oh, he's going to defend the belt internationally at CMLL and at RevPro in these places. And he's going to be Mr. He thinks this country is great, but that everyone in it sucks. Like, I'm on board with that. It's a fresh take on that kind of heel. So I'm in on this. And I thought this was a great opening match. I thought Fletcher showed out. Could have looked a little sluttier. For sure. Like, we got that crop top last week. I feel like he could have looked a little sluttier tonight, but no complaints other than that. Feels like the Don Callis family might be breaking up, I hope. What are your thoughts on this match and kind of the implications with Don Callis?
First of all, to talk about MJF, I feel like even some of the stuff that doesn't quite hit is still consistently pretty good. I mean, I feel like that's his floor. And no, then he has his really high, incredible moments where, you know, he looks like one of the best, smartest wrestlers in the world. So I think he's consistently solid and really good at what he does, helping himself and then helping his opponents. Love the gear. It reminded me of like the Lex Luger from like, you know, the Lex Express era of his time.
Yes.
It reminded me very much of Luger back then. That's what I kept seeing in my head. But
That's a great shout. That's a great shout.
I like the fact that between the two, you have Kyle in his black pleather pants, and then you have this all-American Max, who's the heel in this, and the guy wearing black in the face. It's just very interesting, that dynamics. But to your point, I like the arm work that MJF did, and I like a nice follow-up to Collision where Fletcher's arm got worked over there. So I think that would be a nice little continuity. By the way, I thought the match was really good. It helped cement Fletcher as a main event caliber guy. Sure. As a single wrestler, seeing that he can kind of go into these matches and have the kind of matches with Max and other people. I think you called my one spot of the shoulder breaker.
I mean, we can pretend I didn't if you want to call it out. Joe, any spots you want to point out in this match?
You know, other than I haven't really learned to use the screwdriver by now. Like, if it's offered, we know what happens when you don't use it.
It's true.
Enough. And also, that screwdriver was incredibly long, I thought.
It kind of was. I was like, what kind of screws are you using on a regular basis? My God. What are you screwing, Don Callis? I got questions that I don't want answers to. But do you think that Kyle Fletcher is actually a face, or is he a sheep in wolf's clothes? Wolf in sheep's clothes. Man, dyslexic even when I'm not reading. Wolf in sheep's clothes. And going to turn on Ospreay. Do we think that's where this is headed? Is this the breakup of the Callis family? Is this him legitimately being in the corner? Is Mark Davis coming back and calling him back to the heel side? Where do we sit with where we think Kyle Fletcher is going?
And that's the thing that my gut initially said, oh, yeah, he's have a face and he's going to be buddy-buddy and break away from the Callis family. But at the same time, I could see, you know, being employed to play on his tie with Ospreay to get that title match with him and, you know, cashing that favor that Callis said that Ospreay owes him. So I don't know what they're going to do with it. So I guess that's a good thing. They have so many options.
Yeah. And I will say they have an opportunity to break up the Callis family with Takeshita being at the G1 and stuff too. Like with him just being off screen. If Kyle Fletcher is sick of Don Callis, if, Hobbs, you know, Ospreay's already left, like there's a way to just kill this faction that never really worked. So I think there's good to be had there. There's good to be had there for sure. But some good stuff to kick off the show. And then we head into, we head butt into this match with Mariah May and Viva Van. Viva Van, we've seen a lot of. She's worked New Japan Strong quite a bit. She's been on ROH. She's had some AEW appearances as well. But Mariah May cracking her with a huge headbutt to open this match. And I love the ending that we get here. We get a running knee into the Mayday, into a Storm Zero for some insult to injury. But I thought this was going to be a squash, but this was good. They let Viva Van get some offense in. I'm sure this probably got more time than maybe they were originally planning because of the access to talent issues with this. But perhaps that was the plan all along because Viva Van's like kind of a bigger independent name. But Mariah May gets handed a gift post-match, and it's a photo of her and Tony with "Die Mariah Die" written on the back of it. Reminded me very much of a Ray Finkel photo from Ace Ventura with his die die in the lettering that was there. But Tony Storm rushing from out of nowhere like an RKO, but the officials prevent her from using the shoe on her imposter there, Miss Mariah May, but not a ton in the match. I love that she used the Storm Zero as like a little bit of an insult to injury situation. Your thoughts on this ladies match?
Well, first of all, I didn't really think about the Ray Finkel die, Dan, die.
that movie is too easy of a recall for me, like more than it should be.
No, like how that whole movie, it's all, you know, laces out.
Yeah.
Usually just have tits out.
That's what, oh my god, is this just Ace Ventura presented differently? God.
I had the same thought. I thought it was going to be a squash, but I think it was good to give Viva Van that time, especially, you know, coming off of challenging for the CMLL championship. So it's probably good to keep her looking strong. I can never get over Mariah May's drop kicks. Like,
insane.
Whether they're off the rope or off or running, they look like they kick the soul out of a person's body. Just, I don't know how she does them, but they always seem very impactful.
They do seem really impactful. I'm glad that you called that spot because you have license to do that on the show. So tonight we're just going to be calling spots all night, but I've said this before, but it still catches me off guard. Her almost diva era look with her moveset is such a fun combination because we've just never seen that. And that's not to say that there were divas who couldn't go, but not ones that kicked the shit out of you like this. Like, we haven't seen a lot of people with this aesthetic and this strong of character work and these exaggerated expressions and everything, plus this Joshi experience under her belt, right? It's really, really, really fun. It's really unique to her. And, she is someone that since she's come into AEW has just been raised perfectly. I feel like this has been so great. Tony Storm just getting more unhinged minute by minute, I think, is so fun.
Well, let me ask you then, where do you see this match going at All In now?
This is what's tough. I think Mariah May definitely wins. Mm-hmm. But with Tony Storm, it's kind of where do you go from there? And if they want to just take her off TV until she's ready for a rematch, I don't think that's a terrible idea. She has been a stalwart with this entire thing. She's worked Dynamite. She's worked Collision. She's worked pay-per-views. She's given great promos. She's, Lord knows how long she's in makeup for this shit. Like, she has done so much work and it's been going on for a while. And so if they want to pull her off screen so she can have some time off, that's not the worst idea because I don't know how much more unhinged she could get. But her coming back for her revenge at some point, whether she win or loses, I think could be fun. I think it could be very funny if she loses and just comes back as regular Tony Storm. Like, hey, what's up? Like, just no sells everything that happened to her. I've said that from the beginning, that I think that would be a hysterical way to go about this, is just to, like, what was it, Bob Newhart, where the whole series was a dream, famously. Like, that I think could be really fun. But the number one idea that I kind of cooked up with Alex Blawski on this is you need to have her unable to come out of her room, except Dalton Castle is her Liberace and can occasionally play piano to entice her to come out of her room as she is just She cannot, but she's inconsolable, right? Like, you could just do 6 weeks of vignettes of just that. And I'm so freaking sold on that idea. But I think Mariah wins. I'm intrigued by what is next for Toni Storm, because I feel like there's so many ways you can go. Do you have any inclinations on that?
You know, at the very start of this, I always thought Mariah was the shoe-in to win.
Yeah, me too. I was like, if they let this breathe as long as it needs to, because they hadn't had that patience before and now they do, she's got to be the one too. But
like now, I know, I think my gut still says that Mariah's going to win, but I like that they've, what this has done with the Thomas Toni character as far as kind of freshening it up a little bit, instead of the same thing that we've gotten, you know, for the last few months.
Yeah.
Like you said, she's unhinged. She's this, you know, we don't have the black and white cinema as much anymore. Her look is different. It's just a little different presentation of her now. So I like that it resulted in kind of a freshening up of the character.
It did. And hysterically, like, she's a baby face now. Like, it's so funny to me that she is a mentally ill woman who doesn't know what era it is. But because she had this painful split in her friendship, which is something that is a natural human thing, we're all like on her side of this. It's so fun. I am sports entertained, as the kids say. So some good stuff there. I'm also intrigued to see this piece is saying that Mina is coming back for a while. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with her. I think, it could be really fun to have her be a Toni Storm challenge, like a friendly challenge. That maybe moves Mariah further heel, even like she's turning on everybody that she's loved to get to this point. I think that could be a fun way to go too. There's more people in the chat now than there were at the beginning of the show, which always makes me feel good. So if you missed our reminder to leave a thumbs up, we would greatly appreciate it. If you're listening in audio form, a 5-star review would also make us feel really good. And I swear to God, if you leave a 4-star review, I'll find out where you live. Just letting you know. But we're moving along this episode of Dynamite because Ryan's not here. So between that and my overall influence of moving things along, I think we're in good shape right now. So except my contact is being crazy. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
I'm an influencer.
Okay. I was kind of waiting for that. Now I'm disappointed when it doesn't happen.
Every time you say the word.
It's so true. Oh my God. I hope my lashes don't get damaged as I'm fixing my contact over here. Hey,
you should have got free LASIK or something.
I should. That would be really nice if I could get free LASIK. Though there's now like studies that are coming out of how it might not be the greatest thing in the world, which is actually like my greatest fear. I'll just put these things in. It takes 10 seconds every day. It's fine.
I'm doing fine after 3 years. I'm okay.
Are you? You got LASIK?
I have something similar, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, see, now I've got a test case of someone I know. Did you get an influencer rate?
I have an employee rate. Does that count?
Okay. I think you influence them with the great work you do. So I think you're an influencer.
I did do an article. I did an interview and a story. So it's out there.
You're an influencer. You got a discount for content that you were paid to produce, right?
I think, yeah.
Influencer.
I'm an influencer.
Yes, you are. Welcome aboard. And you didn't even have to be like a fitness douchebag to do it. And I didn't have to be someone who pretends anybody gives a fuck about their skincare routine. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Guys, chat along with us. We are having fun. We're moving along because Ryan's not here. So this episode just going so much faster because we're not interrupted by weird backgrounds or songs or him telling us everything was so fun, but I'll tell you what was not fun. Hi guys. Keith and Shibata was good, but it just makes Jericho go away, man. I don't need him on commentary. I don't need him on screen. I don't need this angle to continue. And I remain fervent in the belief that it's ironic that Hook is actually still stuck in this vortex, but We get Keith versus Shibata here. Keith attacking Shibata super early on as the ref is distracted. And he keeps the upper hand. I like that the heel did something sneaky and it paid off in this. And Brian Keith kind of going with the bounty hunter thing. Like, he just feels like... It feels like he's like, of course it worked. Why wouldn't it work? You know what I mean? Like, it's not like this is just the way he goes about business in the coolest way possible. But kind of dominates Shibata until he gets his little babyface comeback here. He takes all, Keith lays in a lot of strikes and then just one really big forearm for Shibata and he returns it, which was really nice. And he makes him tap out with an arm bar. And I loved that this really felt kind of like the bounty hunter versus the wrestler, right? Like that was the story going into this. That was kind of the only story going into this outside of like all the bullshit that we've had going on with this. But it felt like Shibata's world beat Brian Keith's world this time. Sometimes the guy just has better night, perfectly fine there. And then the learning tree attacks Shibata. What a surprise. Until Hook's music hits, he makes the save and out. Takes out Big Bill and Jericho, who are retreating. And Hook came out also with a hat on, and it just cracked me up that I was like, if he wants to turn heel, literally all he has to do is cut his hair. People were upset Kyle O'Reilly did. They would be apoplectic if Hook cut his hair. If he shaved his head, lose their minds.
Jack Perry never did.
Jack Perry never did, but I think it's the type of heel that he is, because he's kind of... He's like a douchebag that kind of warrants it, I feel like. But real hair, you know what I mean? Real glass, real hair. We love that. But I just want Hook to be able to move the fuck on to something else. I'm assuming he's getting his title back in all of this. But man, it's zero funds. This trash is not for me.
If he gets his title back, can we just retire the title?
Legit.
Because, I mean, no one else should really win it. And if they do, it always comes back to Hook anyway. So,
yeah, I want him to be able to move on to, like, real titles, you know?
Win it back. Give it back to your dad. Retire it and go after something else.
I think they would have done it right now if there was plans to do this. But if Taz could get back in the ring just for three moves, like, that would be just one suplex, Taz. We know you have it in you. Like, I think it would be so fun. But I think if they were going to do it, they would have done it by now. I think so. Well, this was very fun. This was definitely a thrown together because of the weather seeming match. But they did something really fun with it. We've got Orange Cassidy, who's interviewed with Renee backstage. And Renee points out that Orange Cassidy's teammates couldn't really make it today. And he says he got a couple of local kids to help him out and asks Renee if she could wrestle. And she says no. And he says, I wasn't going to let you do that. But just love Orange Cassidy. But the two local kids he finds are this up-and-coming outlaw mud duo, FTR, which I thought was so fun. They came out like in their denim jackets and their sunglasses. I loved the way that they played that off. What a cute little piece of business here. And they're facing Roosh, Roddy Strong, and Beast Mortos. Roosh and Beast Mortos for the titles, please. Like, just have them win the tag titles. I don't give a fuck about the rest of this. Young Bucks aren't defending them. FTR, we already know how great they are. The Acclaimed suck. Like, just put them on these guys. These guys fucking rule together. I want them to be a tag team and win the titles so bad. But we get the Kingdom interfering from the crowd while the referee is distracted here. In the beginning of this, you have Roddy Strong getting double teamed by the OC and FTR. So kind of turned about being fair play, only in the faces situation it was legal and it was not in the heels. But the faces making their comebacks and both teams just kind of going to their best hits here. Really, really good stuff. But FTR hits the Shatter Machine on Roosh to pick up the win. Don Callis is so upset. Lord Almighty, do I not need that guy on commentary? He's just bad. And the Acclaim show up and seemed like it was going to be a promo exchange, but it turned into a brawl because nobody wants to hear Max Caster rap because he actually sucks and he talks about sexual assault as a babyface. But it feels like they're kind of more serious and a little bit prickish here. My complaint was, this is what I was complaining about last week. I know you weren't here, Joe, but they won this eliminator match like 400 years ago. And the Bucks have not defended their title. And I'm like, why the fuck do they care about FTR right now? Like, go get the tag titles, idiots. Like, I know why in kayfabe that's, or I know why in real life that's the case. But why in kayfabe are you going after FTR instead of the titles that you won an eliminator match for 100 years ago? Makes no sense to me. But Dax was like, we could have this promo battle, or we could fight because we're real men and men fight about things, which I a lot of people think is toxic masculinity or whatever, but I actually appreciate that. Sometimes you gotta punch a dude in the head. More people should do that to shitty people. I'm firmly on the belief of beating up bad people. Like there was like that GCW per photographer, and I was like, they should just let Brandon Kirk beat the shit out of him, and people would stop doing that if enough of these guys beat the shit out of people. I am an advocate for violence in specific situations. This was one of those situations, particularly in a pro wrestling ring. Your thoughts on this match in the segment? I thought it was an inventive way to fill up some TV time tonight.
I'm down with a good assault as long as it doesn't cause death or some kind of permanent damage.
Yeah.
No. Fall. Overall, good six-man tag. I think, you know, you had a fun mix, like you said, of FTR and Orange Cassidy, which I workshopped a name for them if they want to become a trio.
What's that?
FT Orange.
Oh my God. Gold.
The Orange. Yeah.
Gold.
But
I had one, my first tweet on Threads, because I joined Threads because I'm locked out of Twitter again. For saying that stabbing yourself in the eye is better than watching a Logan Paul match. No big deal.
Truth hurts.
Yeah, I guess they didn't like that because Elon's probably into crypto scammers too, but I said on Threads, a Bryan Danielson tag team with Orange Cassidy, and you could call it Dragon Fruit.
Ooh.
Ah, fun one. FT Orange is great though. That rules.
But well, yeah, I'm interested in what it's a weird mixture of teams with Roddy and Mortos and Rouge. Like, I don't know what they're doing with this combination, but we keep having them, and they keep going against the conglomeration, so I don't know what's going on there.
Especially when Roddy's other guys were there, I can only assume that, like, they're probably defending on ROH is what I thought, and this is just a logistic thing. Like, that could be... I mean, maybe. Last week, they tried for the first time in a very long time, so that was refreshing. And in their defense, they've been kind of the only ones that have really been around. Like, they defended a few times, so... That's just my guess, is maybe they didn't want them wrestling twice, especially when they're already short-staffed today.
I did like Dax's hot tag offense where
he
punched the living crap out of people. He's doing suplexes. Like, yeah, the amount of, like, cardiovascular conditioning he had to do all those with, you know, one-on-three, I thought that was really fun. And overall, I'm kind of surprised that Roosh took the pin. Yeah, I thought they were really trying to build him up. But I kind of justified in my head that maybe it was okay because he no-sold the beach break and the orange punch initially.
And the beach break on the outside, too. Was that Tarush as well? That looked nasty, the beach break on the outside. I was like, whew, that looks so much nastier on the outside than in the ring. But yeah, he did kind of no-sell those. That's fair.
Yeah, other than that, it seems to really be pushing Mortos a lot too lately.
I'm hoping he's like someone the new ROH is built around, because he's had some real showcases there. But it's funny, we've seen them. It seems like they're making more of an effort with ROH, which is really good. But it also seems like Mortos caught fire in a way that they might want him highlighted on the main roster. And MXM, who seems like a tentpole ROH talent in the tag division, has also been getting really well received on Collision and Rampage and stuff. So I'm wondering if they're kind of rethinking how they want to go about stuff with these new talent that they're white hot, maybe a little sooner than anticipated, but we will see. But We got Adam Page giving a brief interview, promising to get his revenge on that damn Swerve, which, of course, and then we get this JR sit down with Swerve. And I was a couple things. This is what JR does best, is these. That being said, he is just in really rough shape health-wise, and I'm certainly not in any position to tell anybody when to retire or a doctor or anything like that. These are where he is best at this point in his career, and it was still just like, man, it's rough to watch him. It's rough to watch him in these. It's heartbreaking. Like it really is just like,
and we haven't seen him on TV in a long time, so I feel like,
and no, he's
like,
been under treatment and stuff. Yeah.
Like when you don't see someone for a long time and they look or sound totally different than what you remember, it's really jarring at first.
Yeah, especially when it's an aging thing. Like that's tough. But Swerve, it's fun because I feel like Swerve is leaning heelish, but he still won't really go certain places. Like he's not crossing the line with Danielson because he's focused on retaining his championship, but he's confident. And instead of saying like, I'm gonna break into your house and steal Birdie, he's like, I don't give a fuck about Birdie. And I was like, me too, Swerve. I don't give a fuck about Birdie either. I don't give a shit about her birthday. Let us keep your dad wrestling forever. I don't care that he's made out of graham crackers. So but I liked that they did that, but it was so funny because I was watching it and I was like, Swerve is the champion. Why is he not on in the main event more or opening the show? And then sure as shit, we get him closing the show later. But I get very frustrated, and also I'm very aware that he's the first Black world champion, and I don't want him to have the legacy of first Black world champion and then he doesn't get treated like a champion. He needs to be on in those segments. So but I thought this was good, and then what we get later is better. But it was very funny because visceral reaction while I was watching this. Why the fuck isn't Swerve on in the main event? I know the schedule's weird, but if this was a pre-tape, why was it, like, I just, and then he showed up later. So your thoughts on this? It was a little heartbreaking to see JR in this condition, but I thought they did a good job with this segment.
Yeah, and that kind of took me out of the segment more than anything. So
yeah, it's tough.
I don't remember anything too remarkable that came out of the interview that we haven't heard already, and then what we kind of hear later on after the main event. So
I think it's only fair that if Swerve got a sit down interview, Bryan Danielson should have one, and it should be with Nigel McGuinness. I think that's the only fair thing to do.
That'd be great. I have one before all that. Like, right? No, I mean, that makes sense, right? Or at when they're at, you know, over there in London.
Should be an entire episode of Rampage. Just Bryan Danielson getting interviewed by Nigel McGuinness. That's what I think.
What's the first question?
First of all, how dare you? And then something about clams for sure. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing is about how he was ranked higher than Bryan Danielson in 2009 by PWI. That's what I learned. When I've mentioned it several times down here, how special his magic show was and how much it meant to me. But like, it was extremely heartfelt, which was the part that caught you off guard. But him like trolling Bryan Danielson and like weaving it in, but mostly shoehorning it in. Like there was no need for Bryan Danielson to be brought up in the show at all, but him just going out of his way to do so. Oh, that line he had on Collision about eating Brie was something that just came directly from his show. And I'm very glad AEW approved it.
I appreciate the commitment to the bit.
It's great. It's great. Well, we move on to some more women's division segments here. And I got to say, we are so regularly getting two matches, two to three segments, whatever. And it is awesome. It is awesome. I was so excited when I saw two matches, and one was in the first hour and one was in the second hour. We're getting into, it's not automatic yet, but like Collision has had two women's matches pretty frequently. Rampage always has, because there would usually be like a women's match and then a squash or whatever for somebody that they were building. But it's really cool to see match earlier in the show, squash match, and then an entire segment following that squash match. But Camille just showcasing her power in this handicap match against two local talents. There's been a lot of Carolina local talented featured in this taping. Follow Cassidy Haynes from Body Slam on Twitter. They're like all his friends, which is really fun for him. But if you're curious about any of the developmental talent, who they are, what they did, I know White Mike, who's a really popular talent down there, and Rob Killjoy, they were on security, which was pretty cool tonight. But if you're curious about any of the enhancement talent, kind of just in general, he has a really strong grasp on the independent scene, especially down his way. But this was a glorified squash. And it feels like Camille was like, hey, I had a 500 whatever day reign in NWA. She wasn't the best when that reign started. She grew and improved a lot. But it feels like she walked into AEW and was like, I know my strengths. And here they are. And this is what should be done. Because I'll tell you this. I don't know. This might be a scoop, but it might already be out there. I do know that she had ideas and that NXT was interested in her, but she thought these ideas would work better in AEW. And AEW was receptive to it, but she went in with specific ideas in mind. I don't know if they were specifically these. I don't think they predicted Mercedes being in there, but she might have thought, I want to be a heavy, or I want to be someone that a stable can be built with as a piece of it or whatever. So kudos to her, because she, I think, knows her strength. Her look is amazing. And I just think this is a fantastic duo, and hopefully probably more to come with this. But Mercedes just talking a bunch of shit after, talking about how her friends, the EVPs, suspended Britt Baker so they don't have to deal with her until All In. And then Britt Baker appears on the big screen. Doesn't say a ton, except that you can have her suspended. You could say whatever you want, but that this is her home. Her voice sounded sore, like not in an emotional way, like she was losing her voice for real in this. Kind of typical babyface stuff, but a good job merging. It's public. You want to drag it onto screen. It's not that big of a deal to me. I think this one was fine. But just continuing down the mountain with this, and I'm loving this combination of Mercedes and Camille. I think it's a good move and a step in the right direction for this iteration of Mercedes as a heel. Any thoughts on the match and the post-match that we got out of this?
No, I think the match was good to make Camille look dominant and strong, especially having her do the two-on-one. I think that's really good. Instead of her just squashing one person. She gives me that old, like the old, like when China got introduced as the heavy.
Big time.
From her demeanor, it's just very, very similar to me. And I didn't know, has she always been the Brick House?
She has. It was her last name for a little bit. Yeah. She was Camille Brickhouse.
Brickhouse, Camille's like, oh, okay. I mean,
she's a brick.
No, she's mighty, mighty. We get it.
She's mighty, mighty.
But otherwise, yeah, I think Mercedes should know better than to say someone's name and they appear. And that's what happens when you say,
I appear via video because I'm actually suspended. I appear via video because I'm actually suspended. You just got like a Ryan segment. I interrupted you with songs twice.
Right. No, you know, I know. I like how they say their sound. I'm like, literally pre-recorded. But
what? Come on now.
You know, like you said, it's a good way to blend the lines of, you know, the real world and wrestling, and to include her on TV, but not include her, I guess, physically. So.
Yeah, it also tells you the suspension ain't that serious, right? That's what it really tells me. If it was that bad, she wouldn't be appearing at all. So sounds more slap on the wrist-ish, but she also got away with one because probably wasn't making it to Dynamite anyway with all the travel issues people had. But we are coming down the home stretch to our main event here. If there's anything anybody else wants to chat about, we're going to tell you about our t-shirts in a minute too. So stay tuned for some hot t-shirt talk on the way, because that was better than this match with Jeff Jarrett and Brian Danielson.
Hold on, I have another thing on my soundboard for you.
AEFJARRET.
That was for me, Joe. Was it for me?
It was.
Oh, thank you so much, Joe. Gentleman and a scholar.
That's me.
So, I don't mean to alarm anybody, but guess what happens right as this match is starting? Jeff Jarrett attacks Brian Danielson with a guitar, of all things. Can you believe that?
Never seen that before.
Never seen it. Never been done before. Incredible. Awesome. Incredible. We do have Ricky the Dragon Steamboat on commentary. And this becomes a plunder match. Oh my God. Concession stands. Yay.
How many of those have Jarrett been involved in? I feel like he's been involved in multiple. The men's one.
47.
Sounds accurate.
There was the death match one, the one with Eddie Kingston, because they were just anywhere around Tennessee. Like, they were just within three states of Tennessee. It was like an 8-hour drive or something. This was a double S. This was not good. It's a plunder match. Brian Danielson tried, and he wins. I do like the ending. The Psycho Knee with a chair always just looks so bad. And what's I think most people know that my sister doesn't watch wrestling, but I talk at her as if she does. She thought Psycho Knee was me saying a psycho knee. And I feel like the Psycho Knee with a steel chair should be a psycho knee. Like, that's just it's taken up a notch by that. So I'll say this, on a day where a bunch of talent couldn't make it and the live crowd was probably thinner, it was probably cool that they had this for a live experience. Like, you're sitting there, you had tickets and a bunch of talent couldn't make it. Like, that's a bummer. Thin house, the energy's probably not the same, but like that's kind of fun. Like, it's kind of fun if they're going to the concourse and throwing mustard on each other and bullshit. So that part's good at least, but this was not a good match. The stroke that Jeff Jarrett had was not great in this, but I don't know. It did what they wanted it to do. I still think it was stupid, but any thoughts?
It was still, I mean, going back to your comments about the weather and the roster, they still got Danielson, you got Ospreay, you've got MJF, you had Mercedes. And that's, I feel like they still got a lot of star power in there for being a light roster for the weather.
They really did, actually. Yeah, they did a good job of that. I think a lot of people come in the night before for stuff. I know MJF had said that he had driven, but like I think a lot of people popped in. And having FTR legitimately live there is right. Cool. So,
but the match itself, I don't have a whole lot of notes in my head or written down on it. I felt like being a anything goes match, it was going to be kind of a good match to mix wrestling with some, you know, throw things at people to help kind of protect one another so you're not risking a whole lot of injury going into All In. I think the one spot I really liked was Danielson doing the spire suplex in the corner off the turnbuckle. I saw the spire suplex.
Yeah, that was pretty rad.
Why don't most people, if I was doing a suplex, I'd be doing that. I don't want to deliver one and fall on my back and knock the wind down myself. I don't know.
That's a good call. That's a good call.
But other than that, I'm glad this is over. I know they tried to make it into a story of, you know, the Owen tournament and everything else, but it really just felt like a match where I don't know if Brian and Jared's like, let's have a match together before you quit full time wrestling. And here's how we're gonna
it felt that way ish, and it also felt like they just were getting all the juice they could out of this 9-minute interview that he did a month and a half ago. Like, who could fucking care? But the match wasn't good. Like, this for Brian Danielson not to have a good match is not great. But is what it is. But here's what's funny. So after the match, Swerve comes out, talks a bunch of shit, and he says maybe he needs a tune-up match before the next week. And my stream cut out right there. So I don't know if he announced who it was for next week, but I also didn't have time to Google it between moving myself in there and in here.
The $7 Taco Bell meal.
Oh, okay. It's Jack Perry.
Yes. No, it's Wheeler. So.
Oh, Wheeler. Okay, that's cool. That's very cool.
Wheeler went to the ring to help to check on Brian.
That makes sense. So. That makes sense. I like him picking Wheeler off of the Blackpool Combat Club for a match. That's a good one. Especially since he's kind of like the child of the group. He's like, I'll toss you around for a little bit. That's cool.
For a guy who has no L's in his name, he takes a lot of them.
It's true. It's very, very true. It's very, very true. But that was our episode of Dynamite. We got through this in a record time, I think, which means we're going to tell you about our t-shirts for 45 minutes. Okay, maybe not 45 minutes, but we will take a moment here to tell you about the Mark Order podcast store that is on Pro Wrestling Tees. You can head over there. Check out our four beautiful designs. You have the regular ones. You have the two double-sided ones on the right there. Some nice classic standard designs. Maybe we'll freshen those up a little bit. Maybe we'll intentionally release the Chase version that was on the gray that Joe copped when he was just a fan of this here influencer that you see in front of you.
I'm an influencer.
But so are you, and yours was more expensive than my lashes would have been. So well played on that. But please, if you're picking up other wrestling merch, I don't know why you would. AEW's designs are terrible, but if you are, please consider us in your purchase or head over there, buy all four. Beat shipping with just Mark Order swag. You can wear them to work 4 days a week, and then on casual Friday, you dress up to keep people guessing. You don't want to be the predictable guy at the office. You want to change it up a little bit. Maybe you're like the wrestler CPA and you want to wear them all at once. You just rip them off. Maybe you want to put Hulk Hogan in the ground so you rip off your shirts. I mean, don't tear through them. But then if you do, you can always just order more at ProWrestlingTees.com. My goodness. Great stuff. Great stuff at ProWrestlingTees.com. Piece is saying, can we talk about how ZSJ and Evil had a match of the year contender? ZSJ getting good matches out of Evil and Jake Lee is why he's the fucking GOAT. And Joe and I are going to see him at Capital Collision. We're also going to see the rest of TMDK. There are another contingent of TMDK there and Shane Haste and Mikey Nichols, who are facing Virus and Echicero, and Shane said they've got great immune systems, so he's not worried about facing Virus at all. I love those guys so much, but we are going to have so much fun at Capital Collision. If you're going to be there, please say hi. We only charge $20 for an 8x10. We're very reasonable in that. We like to give back when we can, so we'll bundle them. We'll sign them. We're there for the people, really, but please don't. I'm driving, but like Joe's gonna be at the airport, and it's you're embarrassing yourselves when you go up to him and you're trying to get him to sign merch because you're gonna sell it on eBay. Like, it's embarrassing for all of you people, but that's just what happens when you're influencers like me and Joe. So
influencer,
yes, we are. Yes, we are. But before we get out of here, I'll plug our Mark Order stuff since Ryan is a coward and didn't show up tonight. But you can follow us on social media at Mark Order. I'm trying to devote some time to maybe freshening things up there a little bit too. But Ryan's so great on Twitter about interacting with people. Just don't be an asshole and he will interact with you. There's a lot of really fun conversations that he has. A lot of really great people in this space who aren't getting themselves locked out by saying it would be better to watch or to stab yourself in the eye than to watch a Logan Paul match. But those reasonable people are interacting with Ryan. I unfortunately not one of them, but we gave you our t-shirt link as well. We're on Instagram and TikTok as well. So please follow us on social media, but most importantly, if you could subscribe to this YouTube channel, that goes a long way in helping us. So we would very much appreciate your subscription. But Joe, where can people find LASIK eye surgery influencer and fresh haircut fella, despite his lies, Joe?
Sure. I guess you can find me on social media at _AsianJoe. I still do have a serial review blog. I just haven't done anything recently. I think there is a serial coming out later this fall with the Kelsey brothers.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I'm waiting for that one to drop and I'll do that one.
I love that. That sounds like a lot of fun. Well, you're running from the grind. So if you want to see a bunch of old posts, Joe. No, it's a very, very cool thing. There's nothing else like it that I've ever seen. So check that out. Follow Joe. Just be respectful when we see him at Capital Collision. Okay. I know it's like, oh, big celebrity, but let's relax. You can find me just influencing. That's all I'm doing these days. I'm mostly doing it at Miss Kayfabe on social media. You can find me influencing my way through Fightful every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on the main channel covering NXT, ROH, and SmackDown. On Fightful Select every Monday for your Raw Sour Graps review and every PLE and pay-per-view as well that I'm not doing on the main channel I'm on Fightful Select for, but Wednesdays right here at the Mark Order podcast. I will be back in the upstate New York area for Excite Wrestling. A lot of fun stuff going on. We're going back to Skate Estate. We've got a couple of double show weekends, which means I can go to the pay window twice, which is really fun. So if you are in the upstate New York area, we encourage you to check out Excite Wrestling. But very excited to see Joe in person. We've only gotten to meet once.
More than once, Kate. You've done it at least twice.
Well, one weekend, right?
True. I guess when I saw you in New Jersey, it probably would. No, we saw each other for a couple days in New Jersey.
That was the only time, right?
Denver.
Oh my God, Denver. What am I saying? That was like a year ago.
Benita, come on.
I dragged you to watch me pick out vinyl for like 2 hours, but my God, what am I thinking? We experienced Casa Bonita together from the outside, but still, I can't believe I forgot about such a Hallmark adventure in my life. That was just about a year ago.
Who forgets things? Jeez.
Certainly not me. Not all the time. but please, if you're at Capital Collision for real, please come say hi. We unfortunately, I think we'll have Ryan back next week. So our apologies for that. But for now, we're going to get out of here and what might be a record short show. We appreciate you so much for tuning in. Leave a thumbs up on your way out. But for now, goodbye and good night.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.